So you think anyone ought to be able to just attend the IETF, just walk in off the street?
Well, traditionally, the rank and file has been the strength of the IETF. If you look, for example, in the area of resource discovery, you will find that over the last 2 years, there have been 6 separate efforts started across the globe looking at different aspects of resource discovery, and none of these came out of any, you know, grand directive from on high that we need to do work in this area. Rather, there just happened to, you know, there happened to be people in communities who observed there was a need and decided, you know, to apply a little elbow grease to that and came up with some good results. And so, you know, you certainly, that's always been the strength of the IETF, and we need to preserve that.
I'm hearing two things here. One is we want to encourage new blood to come in, mm-hmm. and the other is it's hard to get work done because there's so many people in some of these working group meetings. Are these two conflicting goals here? Is there a way to solve those?
Well, it's certainly a set of, it's certainly quite a conundrum. You know, on the other hand, you know, if you look at the SNMPV1 experience, it was fairly hard to get things done, but we all realized there was just such a pressing need back in 87 and 88 that we pulled together and put aside differences and made it happen. There's one story I really like to tell, which kind of goes back to this vendor thing, so humor me for a moment. We're discussing something in one of the SNMP committees, and a person there who happens to work for a vendor says, you know, if you include this feature, I can't implement that on my box. The box is just not built in such a way that I can get at that information. But this would be a very useful, perhaps even critical thing to have for managing boxes like this. So I think we should keep this in, even though I'm going to take the hit on it personally in the company for letting this happen. Now here's an example of a guy who, even though he knows that his vendor company is not going to do particularly well on this point, he still understands that the community will be greatly enhanced by having this in the standard. And so, you know, the vendor hat, if it was ever there, comes off, and the guy says, well, you know, I'm going to be taken to the woodshed over this, but let's do it. And, you know, this kind of exchange happened perhaps a dozen times over the course of that working group meeting, because people really had a sense of community spirit. And so as we grow, you know, we need to somehow make sure that people appreciate that there is this greater sense of community. Now, sometimes this just doesn't happen. You know, after SNMP was standardized, there was a working group that was formed to develop some definitions of some additional management objects, and Craig Partridge had the great misfortune of being selected as chair. And, you know, he did his best to try and get the group to come to consensus. And over the course of a year, he simply could not get that group to take getting any kind of consensus position at all. And, you know, Craig's a good guy. He's bright. He's innovative. He's, you know, very well-meaning. And he just simply could not get results. It was just politically untenable. And, you know, finally he had to give up, and they had to take some other approach towards getting these definitions out. And, you know, this was, you know, like a really unfortunate thing where they were unable in that working group to have that sense of community come together. Now, since that time, you know, we've tried to fix the particular problems which Craig encountered, and we've had mixed success. But, you know, it is just a constant problem. As we serve a larger community, you know, there are diverse interests, and yet not everyone is willing to realize that their own fiefdom in the Internet is not the only fiefdom there, and it's not the whole Internet, and that they have to give some.
Speaking of community, we're beginning to look at a truly global Internet. The contributions from outside the U.S. have long been very significant, mm-hmm. and one can argue are some of the most vital work going on in the Internet. How is the IETF going to scale from, or the Internet standards-making process, if you will, scale from a U.S.-centric process into a truly global one?
Well, that's hard. I think that what we need, one of the things which we've done fairly well at and which we need to keep working at is making sure that the vast majority of all IETF communications occur via electronic mail.
Novel thought,
yes. Well, it happens most today rather than these in-person meetings. And although these in-person meetings are necessary and often essential, perhaps for hammering out some things, you know, we really have to rely on electronic mail, and we've been doing that fairly well. But then there's also, you know, another aspect is we need to get more people from outside the U.S. Into into the management structure. And I'm not saying this like in terms of quotas or anything else. I'm just saying that we need to make it easier for people outside the U.S. to become working group chairs. We need to make it easier for them to participate in other ways than just being kind of this, electronic wisp, which, sends messages out and receives them. Because we have had a lot of valuable contributions, even in the early Internet. There was a number of Europeans and Australians who contributed quite heavily. And, we need to keep building on that.
How do you do that? Do you have IATF meetings overseas, or do you not have IATF meetings? Do we just let the Internet Society handle everything at their INET conference?
Well, I always kind of viewed the Internet Society as more of a promotional organization than a technical or standards organization. Maybe that's just my perception. I don't know. I think that we are going to perhaps try to get more things going concurrently in the U.S. and in Europe and the Pacific Rim. For example, the video over IP stuff has come a long ways in the last few years, and perhaps we might get to the point where we can hold concurrent plenaries both in the United States and in Europe, or in the United States and the Pacific Rim. And if we do it right, we could probably arrange to have, to have as much overlap, say maybe 4 or 5 hours in the day, although, what the heck, we're Internet people, we're 24-hour people anyway, so we might have a lot of overlap during the day, where the people in one time zone start kind of late after lunch and the people in the other time zone start early, and we'll just give them massive caffeine injections as they walk in the door. So we could perhaps do some of that, more of that, in that fashion.
You're suggesting a pan-Atlantic IETF or a pan-Pacific IETF.
Yes. In a nutshell, that's what I would be suggesting. And, I think that, there are some working groups which, have a fairly high level of international participation for which that would work, and then there are going to be other working groups which are fairly, for one reason or another, are only of interest to U.S. people or of only of interest to, people in Europe, and those could be held, basically not online. But again, we always have to fall back on electronic mail as a way of doing things.
So actually using the technology that we're building.
What a novel concept.
There you have it. We've been talking to Marshall Rose, and this is Geek of the Week. Thanks a lot, Marshall.
This has been Geek of the Week, brought to you by Sun Microsystems and by O'Reilly & Associates. To purchase an audio cassette or audio CD of this program, send electronic mail to radio at ora.com. Internet Talk Radio. Same day service in a nanosecond world.